The question that we present to ourselves is, how do we let God accomplish more with our lives than we think is possible? It happens by looking at Mary. Look with me, if you would, beginning of verse 26. I'll read up through verse 28. I want to go all the way through verse 38, which we will, but I'm going to read through verse 28 before we pray. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We thank you that you are all-knowing, God, and so, God, thank you that your intellect is not equal to mine. Thank you that you are who you are, that you know all things, and that the plans you have for us are exactly as you say in Jeremiah 29:11. They are plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future, not to harm us. So, Father, may we trust you tonight with our lives, with our futures. We love you, God. Bless this time. Forgive me of the ways that I fail you, Father. May every word that comes from this mouth come from the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Let it be nothing in and of myself. Glorify yourself now, I pray, in this time. Pierce our hearts. Make us more like Jesus. In his name, amen. Mary goes through a little process here when the angel Gabriel appears to her. And what we see is a little, we call it a little four-step process or something like that. It doesn't really matter, to be honest. Call it what you want. Four things to pull from this passage tonight to help us answer the question, how do we let God accomplish more with our lives than we think is possible? It works like this. First of all, admit. Now, admit what? Let's look in Mary's case. Admit your concerns, admit your confusion, admit your fears, and so on. Look what happens in verse 29. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So Mary, it's obvious. It is obvious that Mary is a little freaked out at this point, all right? A little freaked out, the angel of God, Gabriel, God's messenger, has just appeared before her and said that she is favored in the sight of God. And Mary's like greatly troubled, as it says. She has concerns. Why are you here? What's God telling me? I don't really, obviously God's telling me something. God is leading me down a certain path. But to be perfectly honest, I'm a little freaked out. Right? And this might sound familiar to some of you. I don't know. I know this is sounding very familiar to me in some different areas of my life growing up. But maybe you've always wondered, first of all, maybe you've always wondered, what is the will of God for my life? And if there's ever a question that I've been asked as it relates to college students through this ministry in the past 11 years, it's been that question. Stephen, how do I know God's will for my life? I've got news for you. I'm getting ready to answer that question, sort of, all right? And the answer to that question is, I don't know. That's it. There's your answer. Go home and rest on that. I don't know what God's will is for your life, but I do know this. This is what I always say. If someone asks me, how do I know God's will for your life? I immediately ask them this question. How much time are you spending reading his word? How much time are you spending in the word of God? Because that is how God has chosen to communicate to you. That is how God reveals himself to you. And if you are not spending time listening to God, how in the world do you expect to know what his will is for your life? It comes back to the word of God. That is our authority. That's where we have to start from. That's where we're going to finish at. It all comes back to building a solid foundation on his word. So if you want to know what God's will is for your life, I don't know. I have no idea what God's will is for your life. But read God's word. And as you read God's word, as you find out more about who he is, he'll let you know who you are and what his plans are for you. I think we can all go home now. I think that's it. But it's okay. It's okay to be concerned. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be afraid. You know, a lot of people think, well, it's, you know, if God's calling me something, I can't be afraid. Yeah, you can. You can be afraid. Why? Because that's logical. All right? It's logical to be afraid if God is calling you to go somewhere. And I'm going to use an example here. A lot of people know what I'm talking about here. Some of you may not. I don't know. But in regards to the mission field, man, if God is calling you to go to the mission field and spend the rest of your life in a foreign country telling people about Jesus where you will no longer have the comforts of America surrounding you, if God is calling you to that, guess what? At the get-go, when God first starts convicting your heart, that might freak you out. And that's okay. it's kind of supposed to. All right? Those concerns, that part of confusion and fear, don't brush that off because that's okay. The question is, how do you respond in the midst of that? How do you respond in the midst of the concern, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the fear? That's where the rubber meets the road, guys. That's what it boils down to. It's not about being afraid. It's not about being confused. It's not about being concerned. It's about how do I move out of that? How do I respond to that in such a way that I can find out that God's plan is bigger for my life than what I know? But Mary was afraid. And she was definitely afraid. Anybody in the Bible is afraid when an angel shows up. Have you ever noticed what's the first thing an angel says anytime it shows up to somebody in the Bible? Fear not. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because despite popular belief, angels are not naked babies with wings floating on clouds, all right? That is not what an angel is. In the Bible, if an angel shows up, you wet your pants. That's what happens when you see an angel in the Bible. And the first thing they have to say is, don't die, I've got something to tell you. Every single time you see an angel show up, the first thing they say is, don't be afraid. Because if you saw an angel right now, you would be freaked out. You would be scared out of your mind. And so that's the first thing that shows up. So not only, obviously there was some fear there because of the angel, but because of what the angel said. Because the angel had already told Mary, God is going to do something great in your life. That troubled her. Because she became concerned. She became maybe confused. She even became maybe fearful. We don't know exactly, but we see that she was greatly troubled at what the angel said. So it's okay. It's okay to be freaked out. So what do you do when you're freaked out? You trust. Admit your concerns, admit your confusion, admit your fear, all that stuff, and then trust. And then look what it says here under trust. Don't be surprised when God gives you enough of the details instead of all of the details. All right? Because very seldom will God give you all the details about anything. In fact, he never really does that because he's God and he's all-knowing and your mind can't handle it, all right? Explode is what would happen, all right? He doesn't give us all the details, but he gives us enough. He gives us enough to trust him. He gives us enough to walk in obedience to him. The question is, are we going to do that or not? Guys, let me tell you something. In my own life, I grew up just surrounded by music. As far as a guitar player goes, I'm a complete poser. I know like 8 chords, and I've got a capo. That's enough for me to play any worship song on the planet, all right? So, yeah, that's, and I'm not knocking guitarists. I love guitarists. Jordan Deke, two of my favorite friends in the world, but I cannot hold anything to them or any other guitarists for that matter. I'm a drummer at heart. I've been drumming since I was like 6 years old, so that's what I like to do. But even then, I'm not going to stand here and tell you I'm a great drummer. But I will tell you this, when I was in college, a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine who now, fortunate from him because of where he is now, he's now with the Lord. He's no longer with us. He and I were part of this Christian rock band going through college. And we actually were touring and doing a lot of shows and whatnot, like Ohio, Mississippi, Texas. We went on this big circuit there for a while. It was crazy. And I always dreamed, like, man, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to travel around. I want to play music, and I want to tell people about Jesus. That is all I want to do for the rest of my life. And then I was in my dorm room one night, and I get a call from Dustin on the phone, and he said, here, I want to talk to you for a second. Is anybody else around? I said, no. He said, okay, well, I just want to tell you something. Our band had just signed a record deal out of San Antonio, Texas, with a record label. And because I knew there had been talks there for a couple of weeks, and so they went ahead and signed the deal, and then they called me and told me, hey, we just signed a record contract. And I was like, holy cow. I was like, this is what I wanted to do for all my life growing up. And so I immediately, you know, got off the phone with him, excited, and then became the giddy, annoying little girl running up and down the hallways, ah! You know, going into all the guys' rooms, like, ah! Look what happened. And they're all like, ah! You know, they were like that. But I was like, I was so stoked, man. I was so pumped. And I went around and told everybody in the dorm exactly what all that God had done. And I was so happy because everything that I had ever wanted to do with my life was now being handed to me. And then I was praising God. And I walked back into my dorm room after I told everybody in my dorm what had just happened. And I closed the door and I walked to the middle of my room. And guys, I'm not even kidding you. If I could just let you feel what I felt at that moment. It was the biggest weight, some of the biggest weight that I've ever felt come crashing down on my shoulders, and I fell to the ground and I began to weep because I knew at that moment God was looking at me and saying, that is not what I've called you to. That is not what I've called you to. Because what I've called to you to is bigger than that. The plans I have for you are bigger than that. That is not what I've called you to. And I began to get in this big war with God over the next month, and was like, God, why on earth would you allow me to get all of this thrown together and then all of a sudden tell me that this is not what I've called you to? Well, first of all, he didn't all of a sudden tell me that. I felt him calling me into youth ministry long before all that happened. But that's what I wanted. And I was praying to God and talking to him. I was like, God, how can this be bad? Tell me, how can this be bad? How can it be bad to want to travel around and tell people all about you and play music? And that's not a bad thing. God would probably even say, that's not necessarily bad, but what I've got planned for you is bigger than that, and you're not doing that. So at that point, I had a choice to make. I could either go that route, which was in direct disobedience to what God had called me to do, or I could forfeit that, or I could lay that down, forsake that into the hands of God and follow where God was leading, not knowing where I was going, not knowing what was going to happen, not knowing where I would be a decade from now, and just trust that his plans are better and his plans are bigger, and as long as I'm with him, I'm better off than I am playing drums somewhere. And now, 12 years removed from that, that band, that record label deal didn't last a year. And now everybody's off doing different things, and nothing came of it. And I get the privilege of speaking to thousands of students over the course of 11 years, seeing many of those students surrender their lives to full-time ministry, seeing hundreds of those students going overseas on mission trips, carrying the gospel to places it's never been, getting to perform the weddings of many of my former students who were part of our student ministry and seeing them raise up godly families. What we're about, guys, and what your life is about is not, it's not really chasing your desires and your dreams. It's about living your life following Christ, and as you do so, he becomes your desire, he becomes your dream, he becomes everything that you would ever want in this life. And that if it ever came down to it, you would forsake everything and just say, give me Jesus. That's it. Just give me Jesus. Take away my abilities. Take away my friends. Take away my family. Give me Jesus. And that's all. I'm good. That's where we need to get. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm not saying we're all there. That's what we're striving towards, okay? That's just a little bit of personal stuff from my own life there. But let's look what happens here with Mary when God is calling her to trust him. Listen to what the angel says. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now here's the deal. All this information is true. This either has happened or will happen. But you know what the angel didn't tell Mary about? The cross. The cross is nowhere in there. The cross was very real. If it were not for the cross, we would not be saved. If it were not for the cross, we would have no business being here right now. But the angel left out the cross. That sounds pretty significant. You see what happens here? God didn't give her all the details, but he gave her enough. He gave her enough. And she was faithful. You see what happens, guys? We kind of get in this little rut, and we like to think, or we like to have this communication with God, and we say, "Okay, God, here's the deal. You show me. You want me to take step one. I get that. I make a deal with you, God. You show me what step two is, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to take step one." That's kind of how we approach God with that. God, you show me what step two is, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to even go your route. But see, guys, that's not the way it works. Let me tell you something. God has no interest in showing you step two until after you've taken step one. He will not show you step two until after you've taken step one, because step one is that step of faith which says from you to God, "Okay, God, I'm in this. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm following you, and I don't know what step two is. I don't know what step three is. I don't know where I'm going to be 10 years from now. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow, God, but I know that if you're leading me, that you will work all things together for the good. I know that I can trust you. I know that you're faithful, even when I'm freaked out and have no idea where you're leading me. I know you're good." Trust. Thirdly, ask. Man, ask God honest questions. Ask him honest questions and accept his answers. Look what happens here with Mary. The angel has just told her, "You're going to have a baby." Mary knew she was a virgin. Duh. Look what happens here in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has already conceived a son, and she's in the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." You know, if you're one of those that underlines in your Bible, if you got an app where you can highlight and stuff like that, man, highlight that last little bit. Nothing will be impossible with God, or underline that, or make yourself a note. Just remind yourself of that. Remind yourself of that over and over. But Mary asked the question back to the angel. And this wasn't Mary. Mary wasn't questioning God like Moses did when God called Moses to go back to Pharaoh and to free the Israelites. Moses was like, "You got the wrong guy." Moses was like, I'm not a good speaker. These people aren't going to listen to me. You don't know what you're doing." He wasn't questioning, or Mary for that matter, wasn't questioning God here. She was simply asking a logical question. Why? Because she was confused. She was freaked out. She knew she was a virgin. The angel told her that she was going to have a baby, and then all of a sudden she says, "Oh, okay, how's that possible?" That, you know, we all know how that works, and that is not the case here. So how in the world, me being a virgin, how am I going to have a child? There's nothing wrong with honest questions, man. If you got questions to God, you ask them. Let me tell you one about what's going on in mine and my wife's life right now. And let me tell you about a question that we've got to God right now. We got our fourth child. Our little girl is across the globe on the other side of the planet. She is in the middle of the heart of Africa. And right now, by every documentation, by every right known to man, she is legally our child. Her last name is Bell, for goodness sake, all right? She legally belongs to us. And all through Scripture, we see how God's desire is for, how God's heart is for the orphan. It is for the widow. And God will defend the fatherless, and he will come to the rescue. He even says in John, "I will not leave you as orphans." He says all this stuff. And we looked at him and said, "God, since you are this God, since this is who you are in Scripture, it just doesn't make sense to us that you would not cause this to happen. I mean, I know this is, so why? Why not now? Why not now?" But God, after we're 20-some months into this already, and we were originally told it would take between 11 and 14 and we would have her, we're already 20 months into it, and we're being told it'll take at least another 10 months. God is saying, "I understand your concern. I understand your confusion. I understand your fear. And I get your questions. But right now, for reasons that I can understand and you can't, because I can see the end from the beginning, because I know how big my plan is compared to how big you think yours is, because of all of that, right now I'm saying no. Right now I'm saying no. And I want you to trust me. Right now I'm saying no, and I want you to trust me. I want you to know that I'm good. I want you to know that I have what's in your best interest, and I want you to know that my plans are far beyond anything you could ever imagine. So just trust me and know that I'm good. So that's kind of where we have to be. And then finally, after we admit, after we begin to trust, after we ask, the only response is to serve. Become a servant. Serve God. Devote your entire existence to Him right now in this moment. Look what Mary says as this ends. And Mary said after all of this, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary, after having been freaked out, after having not really gotten all the details, after having questions that were unanswered, she says, okay. God's the same God He was yesterday. He's going to be the same God tomorrow. He's good. He doesn't change. He knows the plans He has for me, and they're good. So I don't get this entirely. I don't know how people are going to talk about me. I don't know what they're going to say about me. I don't know how I'm going to be seen. I don't know what's going to come my way. I don't know what kind of hardships I'm going to face. I don't know any of that. But I know that God is good. And because I know He's good, I will serve Him and I will say, lead me on. Because I know as long as I'm following after you, that's the safest place for me to be. So where are you at tonight? Where are you at in your walk with God? Where are you at in your walk with Christ? Are you to a point to where maybe you've been really just pursuing this whole thought of what you think you want for your life? And not all those thoughts are bad, but what I'm asking you is this. Have you stopped to consider, or maybe you know what God's will is for your life and you're just walking the other way. Man, submit yourself wholly to God, wholly to Him. Follow Him wherever He would lead you. And watch what He will do. He will blow your mind. And He will keep you. And He will hold you. And He will see you through whatever it is you're going through. He says, trust me and know that I'm good.